Hello.
Oh, dinner tonight, huh?
Well, we had a side visit, then we had a school visit, and then we had a, look at High School, it's exciting.
Did you kind of see fall coming up or raining and all that stuff?
It really is. That's one reason why they put the tower up.
And floors.
The floors are.
And floors?
Yeah.
So I haven't been over there since all that has been poured.
Oh, uh-huh.
So.
Yeah. So. And we'll.
I realize it's still 5:00.
According to my Apple devices, which who knows whether you can totally trust Apple devices, it's 4:58 according to mine. Because I live farther north than you do, so mine's probably.
Mine's at 4:59, so. I told my husband that we were doing dinner here, and he goes, well, what about family?
Yep, it's a bear's truth.
But you're on your own.
Marcy and Teresa, one of you tell Sue to send that email.
I did warn you. You did not say I did not warn you.
Because I think we're Jewish, since we're doing an honoring thing. So. So I think we should. We should go there. We normally don't. And then, because we're doing the recognition, it'll just be nice.
Okay.
It is time to start our school board meeting, and we are thrilled to be here. Our board has been busy today. At 12 o'clock, we had a site visit to Bridger Elementary, where we were able to visit with them about their professional learning communities and their leader in me. They're doing some really great things, and we talked about achievement and the training that they're doing with the teachers to help them believe that each child can achieve was just very touching to me. We also have had a board walkthrough of Logan High, and that's the reason why some of us have been eating, because we have been busy all day. We are now in our regular meeting, and we will. I've asked that Teresa Hope leave us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We normally don't do it at our work sessions, but we're going to tonight.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on our regular meeting agenda is our consent calendar, which is action on extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel. Is there a motion on that consent calendar?
Motion to approve the
consent calendar. Okay, Lisa's moved to accept the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Should I make one comment? That first one was sure very difficult to read.
It is.
That's what I commented to. Have you seen what it looks
like?
That's what it looks like. And she sent it twice to us, but it's
not what mine looks like.
All right. Shall we, do you want to table that one? The numbers look right for what they have in, and because the numbers are right, I think.
It's hard to see what it was for.
Yes, and so we need to figure out what they did that made it come across.
Mine looks totally normal. I don't know why.
Okay.
I mean,
You can figure out what it is, but...
Yes, but it looks like it's in a foreign language.
It's pretty garbled.
All right, so are you willing to second it even with the garbled?
Well, I think as long as, you know, the numbers and everything look all right, but it's just hard to say who it was for and all that, which is very difficult.
Well, it looks like Tudor Jim Manning and Tudor, is that Cheryl Alder?
Yeah.
And then the site manager is...
Is there a way to correct it, or is there a way to pass it with the correction?
It's an after-school club.
Organization.
Yeah, and they have the money is available for it.
So as long as we know who the people are, can we pass it with the statement that the names will be written out so they can...
Right, and the normal version. Stacy's looks normal.
Yeah.
Okay, so that it all adds up.
Read them off if you would.
Yeah, will you read what it says since we can't read it?
Got site manager Angela Morris, tutor Jim Manning, tutor Cheryl Alder. Angela is 3.5 hours a day, and the other two are one. They're all 155 days, and the stipend amount is $24.
And it's what is the funding source is?
It is 21st Century. That community learning center, after school club, is what for. Total dollar amount $26,872.16.
And will you read both the description of the proposed, and also then the, we can't even, and it's got to be our problem too, because the rational project, why is yours clear and ours aren't? Neither of my devices is it clear.
After school club teacher, site manager.
Because I'm a real techie.
And after school club teacher, tutors. The site manager will oversee the work of all the ASC staff as well as the programming. This is a 4.0 hours per day position. The ASC teacher tutors provide teacher support and tutoring during the homework time for ASC students.
Okay. With that clarification, we've had a motion, and Lynn, that was the second after clarifying. All those in favor of approving the extra pay for extra services, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Right, we do need to excuse Christy Cooley. Her daughter is playing on the volleyball team, and that's her top priority today. All right, we're going to move into our work session, and we're going to do something that we normally don't do in a work session, and that is do a recognition, and Superintendent, we're going to let you do that.
Mr. Jim Hilton, would you like to come on? Many of you already know this, but Drew was selected as one of the recipients of the Presidential Award for Excellence in Mathematics and Science Teaching. Went back to Washington, D.C. this last July?
August.
Okay.
Yeah.
In August to receive this award back in Washington, D.C. as one of only 108 teachers nationwide who are part of that. And what I'd like to do is just read a brief statement that actually comes from the White House about these teachers. These teachers, referring to those who have received this award, are shaping America's success through their passion for math and science. Their leadership and commitment empower our children to think critically and creatively about science, technology, engineering, and math. The work these teachers are doing in our classrooms today will help ensure that America stays on the cutting edge tomorrow. And although I only worked briefly with Drew when I was teaching at Logan High, it just, as a superintendent and as a person committed to the district, it makes me very grateful that we have teachers of his caliber who are in our classrooms, in our buildings, providing those types of opportunities for students. So Drew, the board would like to congratulate you and recognize you before that, and just to express our appreciation for what you do. And I think the board would like to have
you
around.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you some questions
also about the project. Okay. So I had hoped that I'd have a chance maybe in an interview, but the Herald Journal just kind of took let loose broadcast. So, but it's, you don't get awards without a lot of help. So I'm just going to read it probably. Thank you, Superintendent Schofield and members of the board for recognizing me. The Presidential Award for Excellence in Mathematics and Science Teaching is the nation's highest honor that can be awarded to a science teacher such as myself, and it's for this reason that I'm deeply humbled to have been chosen. It's also caused me to reflect on nearly 20 years of teaching. I want to recognize and thank a number of individuals that have influenced, encouraged, or taught me along the way. And the first that comes to mind is Mr. Richard Bradford. Many of you know him. Some of you were taught by him, perhaps, and certainly taught with him. He was my physics teacher at Logan High, and it was in his class that I can first recall considering to become a teacher. The thought went through my mind. His teaching was dynamic, he had passion for teaching, and he taught me to have high expectations for myself and for my students. He also taught me, and I think this is important, to not take myself too seriously and to certainly have fun at what I do. The next person that I need to thank is Larry Williams. He was my coach, he was my teacher, and now he's my colleague at Logan High. And it was with his encouragement that I really considered seriously teaching. Without his prodding, my career and my life might look very different. I want to give a thanks to my colleagues at Westside High School in Dayton, Idaho, where I first taught. That was my first teaching profession. And in particular, my principal, John Abrams, my mentor teacher, Jim Summers, and then my favorite English teacher, Claudia Christian. One thing that I missed at Westside High School was a science department that consisted of more than basically myself and one other teacher. So I was kind of yearning for that. And so I want to thank, in particular, the science department that I've had at Logan High. Their new ideas, their passion for improving teaching, their support, and their friendship has helped me become a better teacher and colleague. I also want to thank Dr. Todd Campbell. He was my master's advisor, and we now are collaborating. And he keeps pushing me to think of new ways and novel ways of teaching physics. Without the students, I wouldn't be here. I've had some great students, and they often make me look far better than you know they are. And so I want to thank my students. They were patient when some of my ideas flopped, when I wasn't at my best. They gave me new ideas, and they were enthusiastic, in parentheses say mostly, each day to learn a difficult subject. And finally, I want to thank the person that has been with me for this whole journey, almost 20 years. She was there when I was debating whether or not to become a teacher, so in college when I was wondering whether I should go into education or something else. She was there when I accepted my first job at a small high school in Idaho. And then when I was considering whether or not to come to Logan High and leave what I knew well and was comfortable with to come to a bigger school with bigger challenges. Certainly without her support, her love, and encouragement, I'm certain I wouldn't have had nearly the success that I've had. So again, I thank you for bringing me here.
Please introduce this special person to it.
This is my wife, Japanese. She's a fellow scientist. She's a professor at Utah State in engineering.
So you think alike.
We do. Inner conversations are probably not that interesting.
Board members, do you have any questions for Drew? We're glad to have you back.
Thank
we missed
you.
Your last
We're glad time. To be back.
Any questions on anything about the award or?
All right.
We really are, and we'd like to shake your hand.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
He was unavailable for our regular board meetings when we have a bigger audience.
Perfect.
Thank you so much, Drew. We're grabbing the physics of the ball.
The ball around.
Sorry, Paul.
Yeah.
Glad to have you back. We waited another year to
take
the I got to teach in the same building as we did.
I got to teach in the same building. This is comfortable.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, one thing that I neglected to do at the beginning of the meeting was to go over our Board of Education norms.
That's okay.
And we're supposed to. We will put students first. We will demonstrate respect for the process by being on time for all board meetings, being prepared for all board meetings. We will demonstrate effective and positive communication by being transparent in all communication, by being open, honest, and accurate. B, listening to understand, giving complete attention, avoiding interrupting, avoiding side conversations, and making responses that are on topic. We will gather input from all board members and watch our personal air time. We will maintain confidentiality. We'll support the decisions of the board once the decision has been made. And we will review this at the end of the meeting and see how well we did. That's something that in the meetings that Frank has with the staff and with his cabinet, they have their norms and they go over them. We must admit we're not all perfect and we all have areas of improvement, but it's good to remind us. Our first item of business is an update on SAGE, Superintendent.
Thank you. Teresa Ho, our Director of Teaching, Assessment, and Learning, is going to start us off with this. So, Teresa, why don't you sit right here?
Okay.
And you can have a microphone. And we'll have you start.
So we try not to overwhelm you. But it's together by school. So the first page. And so since we have 2 years worth of data now, we went ahead and put them side by side so you could see the growth or if you lost them in any area. I'll let you look over it a little bit first before we...
I can't hear. You have to get your
start.
I'm sorry.
No, I'll just let you look over it first and do it that way if you have any. So the second page, we went ahead and did the same thing, but we looked at grade level. So we had to look down by grade level.
And you want us to wait on questions, correct?
If you would like to, we can ask everybody have an opportunity to look at it first.
Sure.
And then on the last page, we looked at some of our suffers.
Thank you.
So we have a couple of trends, and I don't know if we want to just open it up to discussion, or do you want me to...
Let's go ahead and share some of the trends that you and I have discussed, and then we can...
So definitely math. We grew in almost every area, as far as the different suburbs, as well as every school. Only two grades that we did not grow as far as when you break the data down in math. So there were a couple of things that we had going on this year. We had our teacher specialist, Barbara Child. She worked with elementaries to develop some benchmark assessments for math, and so she worked with each grade level, and she worked with teams of teachers to develop those benchmarks and assessment questions. And so I think really looking, having the teachers dig down into the data and really looking at what they wanted the outcome to be and looking at the different targets obviously made a big difference. So then also at the high school, we did pilot the college preparatory math program, and so we've had several trainings with that as well. And so our focus on that is we have some great growth in that. A couple of other strengths that we talked about, we also, in the elementary, we have some good growth in science. And when you look down at the grade level, we had we started working with USU to work with a team of teachers, and they're taking classes, science classes, and but with a focus on teaching science and engineering to our elementary. And then fourth grade did. So I don't know that. I don't know the history of that. I'll have to find out.
I mean, fourth grade is being named 6 percentage points up, 14 percentage points up, 12 percentage points up, and that's if you take all of the fourth graders in the district and put them together. That's significant. Our fourth grade teachers have done an amazing job this past year.
One question for you, Teresa, with math. I know one of our problems in the past is they would do the... And you don't have Utah history,
right.
So it, part of that we may have to have Frank answer, is we haven't had all of the students take the math test, and so our higher level math students were not even taking the test. Who did they test this past year? Did they test everyone, or just again the math 9, the math 10 classes?
From my understanding, it was just... Because I know my son wasn't tested.
You're saying he would have been in, what, calculus or something?
Well, he was in calculus, but he should have been in 3, where he would have been tested, but he wasn't tested in calculus.
So we're still pulling our top, our top-end kids aren't being allowed to be tested, which is really detrimental.
Well, I know that one change they've made this year before a student can exit a course. So if a student finishes a course early, before they can exit it, they do have to take the stage that matches that course. And so that might give us a little bit more data next year.
But I don't think they have stage for calculus and AP.
He's a year ahead of where he should be. So he did take it as he exited Math 3, but he took it when he was younger. So he was only tested his freshman and sophomore year and will not be tested his junior and senior year.
Okay.
So, you know, that is one of our disadvantages. We want those kids to be in those upper-level courses.
But they're not tested when they are.
Yeah. And so that is not reflected in our math scores. Mm-hmm. Do you know which science classes they test?
I don't have that information right now.
And our scientists slapped us.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are... Which one is it?
I think it's the 4 core science.
And this, what I asked Teresa to put together tonight was very much just the general umbrella look. What we'll be doing is, because this has just been released, is because we just got it last week, as we know, is we'll be digging through it a little bit more and asking more questions. So as we go through that process, we can continue to report back to you all as a board and give you more details, especially as we have the conversations with the school about how they're doing.
They have to take the class, don't they? So not everyone's tested unless they're taking a science class, but they just are tested if they're taking a regular science class.
So those are some interesting things about our Utah testing that sometimes our very best students are not tested and they don't reflect on their, mm-hmm. at least I believe, but that was one of the advantages of SAGE. Supposedly we were going to be able to use some of those students. So that was one of my big okay. questions is
where they were tested. Never tested. Just means they're not being tested.
Well, and I think somebody had told me that they should have pulled them to test, but they didn't.
So that's what we need to get decided and make sure should they be taking the test or may we use them in taking the test so that it's reflected on our scores, because I just want Logan High that has marvelous math programs, we want it reflected how well kids are doing in math.
Isn't it in every single school district, it's the same way though. It's like, okay, math one, math two, there
it's not just there.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter what.
But I had heard that, like you said, that some could have been tested. So yeah. I'm just wondering what changes have been made. Has that started yet? And will we be doing that?
Yeah. So are they going to skew it on purpose?
No, it's are they going to allow that so that we are more reflective of that? If we're going to be graded on our math score, that all of our
that's
students participate.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, every school district, it's the same thing. Well, it's if you're, you have to take science at the end of fourth quarter, if you're math one and two, all the math one and twos are done, and nobody's calculus.
I think some of them were, and some of them weren't, because I don't think it was really clear cut across the state.
So that's something that, like,
we'll follow up and get some more information on that.
Yeah. And Jolene might have some of those answers because she was the one pulling students
right.
and somebody that organized it.
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
Wonderful. I just think it's been a little bit ambiguous and
right.
And back.
Were there any other, as you looked at this initially, were there any other questions that you
had? I had that question you had about is like it's grade three, is it the same kids?
Oh, that was one of my questions. Yeah. Originally with SAGE, we were told that we'd be able to, and that's part of the growth score, I know, as you take this year's, you compare this year's fourth grade with their scores in third grade rather than this year's third grade with last year's third grade, because that was supposedly one of the better things about SAGE is that you could
track
the same kids. So we don't have that information yet.
No, this report does not do that. The data you have in front of you is just showing how last year's third graders did, what percentage of last year's third graders passed the test, as opposed to the percentage of third graders the year before who passed the test. The student growth percentiles, I've got a call into the state. We haven't received that yet. I called last week to see if we could get some more information on that. They called back and left a message for me today. So I'll call them back first thing in the morning and see how we can access that. That's where we're going to see how much progress did our students actually make from fourth grade on. Starting last year, that's something we haven't received yet.
Frank, do we have programs somewhere though that we're, you know, and this is not to dismiss wanting to, you know, have the upper level kids participate in the SAGE, but we have other testing that shows where our upper level students are performing, right?
If they start taking, you know, the AP test or the concurrent enrollment test, yes. If it's a student who is in a higher level math class that is not concurrent enrollment or AP, we don't have a standardized test format to show achievement. We just have the test from that course. Which is one of the reasons why, you know, even as we look at those high level students, it's one of the reasons why we're promoting and why you all have been supporting the professional learning communities and teaming approach, because there, as teams of teachers are creating their own common assessments, we're able to have a much better tracking of student growth throughout the year. And we can, you know, we can better predict what's going to happen at the end of the year. We have more data to support it when we do get that standardized testing. And in cases where we don't have a standardized test, we have some, still some good solid data that we can use.
Are there any other questions on stage, or do we want to morph into TLCs since Frank brought it up? Any other questions for Teresa?
What about science? What do you see happening there?
Science, we have some good growth as well, and it seems like it's pockets still at this time. You can see a couple of the schools have some very good growth. We are increasing the project that we started last year with USU. We started with 12 teachers, and so we're increasing that to 10. We're including our literacy coaches in that so that they can assist the teachers in the TLC and they can work with the science department.
I think what you see with science is that on the front page you look at the school percentages and you can see those are primarily increases. And then on the second page, if you look at the grade numbers, those are generally a couple points down.
Right.
I think what we're seeing there, that's reflective of, I think Teresa just said it best, pockets of achievement and excellence. That's generally where we see a teacher or a group of teachers who have really gotten comfortable with the science literacy connections. In the case of some of the schools, they've really been able to find good ways to provide those hands-on types of experiences. So as we build on identifying who those teachers are, and again, have them collaborate together on what are the things we can do to strengthen student achievement in science, we expect to see those.
Doesn't our new literacy program have more of a science connection to the new program we just adopted?
With
the next gen, with how they actually write science stories.
And what about demographics? Is there anything there that's really concerning?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
And you can see it right there. We have some definite discrepancies between achievement between our Caucasian and Hispanic populations across the board. Our economically disadvantaged, we don't, are actually performing pretty well. Yeah, they're not significantly lower than our others. They're doing pretty well. Our limited English proficient are our other group that is performing significantly below expectations. So Teresa and I had a meeting this afternoon. We started reviewing some of these, and we identified some of the questions that we want to get answered, some of the data pieces we want to collect to start identifying what are some of the causes behind those scores and what we need to do moving forward. That level of difference, you know, we're talking of, you know, in some cases a 30, you know, percentage point gap between our limited English proficient and our native English speakers. We want to find out where that's coming from. And then once we've identified where it's coming from, start identifying, okay, what are some plans we can put in place. The principals also have been looking at that. I've met with two principals, three as we've started looking over this. And that is one of the areas that they identified as a need. So they're going back to their teams and said, okay, these students, this is an area we struggled with. What do we need to move, address moving forward?
And they did start this process last year. They started putting together the pathways to proficiency, which our Deanna Spellman, the literacy specialist, is doing with all of the elementaries and the literacy coaches, and they're also connecting it to the ReadyGen. So there's a pretty strong component in the ReadyGen to provide strategies for your ESL and your LEPs, and so they identified this and we're already starting to work on it this year, so it'll be good data for us for next year to see how I do in literacy.
I think one thing that we want to make sure everybody remembers is what we discussed at Bridger today, that we have teachers who are working so hard and that it can be really discouraging when your school seems to be judged by by one test.
Right.
And that's really hard on teachers who are really trying hard. And I liked Jed's answers of what they're doing at Bridger and how, yes, this is important, but that doesn't tell the whole story of their school.
Right. And it really does come back to that PLC process where it's now you can have those conversations and use your team to provide that support that they haven't had before and really look at your individual students. So what are their needs and how are we addressing that at the grade level and as an individual teacher?
So to take the data and actually do something with it rather than it sits there and we're just keep reporting it. Which is the whole idea.
Well, and as we go through that process, and you all know my feelings on SAGE, I think it can be a valuable data point. It should not be a decision maker. And I don't think it should necessarily even be a goal piece. There are too many factors involved. But it does provide a valuable piece of data that allows us to see, okay, where are students performing at this point in time? And then go back and use it for conversation and analysis and planning. And that's where we need to get is we understand, we have a clear understanding of what the purpose of this data is, what its value actually is, and its value is in the discussions and the adjustments that it can lead to in our classroom instruction, not in classifying whether or not a school did their job or not.
All right, our next item is, thank you so much, Teresa. We are glad to have you on our team.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
She started on July 1st.
And there's nothing Teresa loves more than speaking at board meetings. So anytime we want her back.
True.
So our next item of business is an update on our professional learning communities, otherwise known as PLCs.
So as we've been talking a lot, and we're all going to get really comfortable with these acronyms, because we're going to talk about PLCs quite a bit, but the teaming process, you know, as we know, we went to the training this summer. The big piece that they emphasize is when you're starting the process out, you're spending a lot of time talking about why. You talk about why we're doing this before you start digging into the how we're doing this. So all of the schools are at various points in their progress towards implementing PLCs. As I've been meeting with principals, they're all planning different things, but all of them are on some level reiterating or establishing why are we doing this? What's the purpose behind it? And the SAGE data is already part of those conversations. A couple of our schools have come up with some creative ways to find PLC time. We've met at Bridger today, of course, heard what they've done. Adams Elementary is doing something very similar to make sure the teachers have that time for collaboration. Wilson Elementary is doing some creative things to try to make sure that time is there. Hillcrest, and you know, everyone is seeing, okay, if we want this to work, we have to set that time aside so teachers have time to collaborate and focus on that student data and really make some adjustments. So that's where the majority of our schools are right now, is really solidifying that, establishing their parameters and how that's going to work. Some of our schools, and you can see this a little bit in the data, have established that understanding of professional learning communities, and they're already starting to see a change in their conversations. The conversation switching from, okay, this child is struggling, so what other person should I have them go work with, to this child is struggling, what can we as a team do to support the student learning what they need to in the confines of my classroom. So there's less of a focus on sending a student away from the class for remediation and more of a focus on what can we do as part of our regular classroom teaching in the class to help the student be successful. It's a differentiated instruction, which we know has a much more positive impact on students than removing them from the class for remediation. So that's where both of our schools are at right now. All of their plans look a little bit different. They've colored them to the specific needs of their schools, but they're all going and focusing on the why are we doing this, what are the basic parameters we're going to follow, and then developing that sense of shared ownership. some of the teachers. So that's been exciting to hear, and then visit with the principals and they describe what's going on.
Any questions for Frank?
Oh, I just think if we could, in a work session, maybe towards the end of the year, sometime have a report from each principal about where they're at and how that's, you know, I don't mean right at the end, but maybe in March or something before it gets chaotic. Explain where they've been to where they are at now.
We can definitely do that. Just have, we want you to come and report to the board exactly on that. Where did you start? Where are you now? What's your next goal? Where are we headed? We're also working with all the principals on our district mission, vision, and goals. We had our initial meeting last week with the principals and started fleshing out some of our measurements, what are the things we want to be working towards. We then took it back to the directors and had some discussion about how we support that conversation moving forward. So in our next principals meeting, we'll be tightening up some of the conversations and really getting down to, okay, this is what we're setting as a goal. If these are the things that we want to make progress in, what will that look like when we've made that progress? How will we know we're there? And that's kind of where our discussion will be headed next.
All right. Our next item is discussion on the Master Boards Award. For those who are in the audience, our school board, we have two plaques over here. We were somewhat challenged by the legislature, but also challenged by our state association that as boards of education, we should be doing continual professional development. If we are expecting teachers and others to do professional development, we should be doing professional development. Therefore, they developed a Master Boards Award. I can say I've earned an MBA 3 times now because of this program. What I've done is I've gone through, for most of us on our board, we are working on the Master Boards Award Level 4. Is anyone having problems logging in?
I finally got back.
You finally got in? Did you help the information I sent you? The password and that kind of thing?
I just got it.
Oh, good. And so, notice Lisa's 44%.
Do I need...
I want you to log in.
I'm there.
Oh,
this
one. Okay. So I have both the level 4 and the level 1, and I've got them on 2 different pages because I want you to be able to compare them. So for those of us who are on, well, for both, all levels, the first area is continuous improvement. Continuous improvement is about paying attention to the quality of what we do to ensure student achievement. And you'll notice that for both areas, we need to complete the open meeting law. We are required when Jeff turns in, when our auditors come, they will actually look to see that we've all had that training. And it is a good training with the quiz that follows. And what's nice is you can take the test as many times as you want to get 100%, if you would so like, which I always do because I figure then I make sure I really know the open meetings law.
I will never let it be less than
that. Yep, you want that 100% up next to your name, don't you? And then for the level 4, you know, the first 3 years were very similar, well, the other 2 years were very similar to level 1, where we had a list of things we needed to complete. What's interesting with our level 4 award, we need to write this time, and so please list in 50 words or less the strategy or goals that you have accomplished in this area. And so on continuous improvement, one of the things I realized that, well, I wrote my 50 words on our PSC training and work that, you know, we went to a conference together with our staff. We've established a new mission. We are using tracks as our collective commitment, so we're honoring what we've developed previously. And what Connie will have a challenge with that I did is getting it 50 words or less.
I just looked at the names of things and described it.
Yes, and so for those of you who are on level 4, that's one of my suggestions. Do you have any suggestions what that array could also be? If you look over at for Frank and Lisa, they need to complete the open meeting law. You need to attend an state or national conference. You need to attend your region meetings and board trainings. And you're supposed to do the required plus 3. Complete 3 selected readings. On that page, there are lots of good books. Now, we were all asked to read the PLC book. So that is one of the readings that, and if it, I believe it's on the list. If not, you can add it as one of your selected readings. And there are some really good books there. Frank, you may want to look through that list and see if there's anything. Last year we read The Smartest Students in the World as a board and discussed it. And we've done several books as a board showing that we're a professional learning community where we are always learning. Then it also says watch a training video on diversity or bullying or suicide prevention, and then also attend a legislative meeting. You've done that, Lisa. You went to almost all of our legislative meetings.
My question is, where do I mark on here that I've done that?
You go in on your page and click it. And then you need to put update.
I'm trying to figure out where, though, because I've...
Have you gone to your profile?
Because I'm on my profile. That's where it's saying.
Okay, that's why we're doing this in a work session instead of our regular meeting.
Progress.
Okay, now you go down to, view your progress, right there.
Right here?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. Do you notice you've done 3 of 4, 0 of 3, 3 of 3, 1 of 3, and
because
0 of 3.
Because I didn't know where to mark it.
So now you go in and view your detail.
Sorry.
Go to advocacy. I know you've got to use the left hand. That's hard. View your detail on advocacy.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. And then you'll go along.
I didn't know where I took the check off because I took all my tests, and it's like, well, I'm only 44%, but I've taken every test, and I didn't know where.
Then you have to make sure. That you do.
Complete 3 of your choice. So I just need to go. I didn't know where to go to check all this off. So.
Right. And the one thing that I really like on under advocacy. And you have to push update. Then that's the trick on this
program.
Because
I've been using my downtime.
To do that.
To do this.
To do it with your left hand. One of the things that it says under advocacy, please complete 3 of your choice. And I think this would be a good one for those of us who need to write about our advocacy, is it says, please complete 3 of your choice. Prepare a 30-second statement on positive outcomes of your district. You know, that we all need to create that soundbite together, and in many ways our mission is that very thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my mind, our mission is that 30-second soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
Meet with local legislators regularly, meet with your city or state governments, and we're still trying to set that meeting up. Right, Frank?
Yeah.
So, and what I went through is that I did mine very straightforward, not real lengthy, brief, stating what was done, and figured that if I wanted to go back and refine it and put in names of, like, Mosey and all that,
mm-hmm.
I could go ahead and do that. But who reads this?
We can share with each other.
Okay.
And we also, I know that the state, and they see whether we've really done it.
Okay.
As a board, identify 3 strategies per year that each board member can use to advocate for their district, such as identifying the fact everyone will use when presenting at community functions, having schools put up successes on their marquees, inviting business owners to visit schools. You know, a lot of what's in here is part of our PLC. Then you go to community engagement. We're supposed to write in 50 words or less the strategy or goals that we've accomplished. My thought was the superintendent's election process where we involve the community. Mm-hmm. Collaboration, when we went over to Logan High and everyone presented on collaboration. And we worked through some real issues over at Logan High.
When we gave all the presentations on the construction,
Mm-hmm.
You know, the enclosing of cells, the first cells, all of those.
Yes, and so what I have to do is remember which year things are, have been done. And then we have accountability for those of us who need to write. One of the things I thought about, in fact, Frank made a phone call this last week and was saying we need to reduce some class sizes in elementary. I know this, there is bond money for class size reduction. And you talked with Jeff how much had been allocated for elementary, and I said if you're keeping within the amount that we said was allocated for class size reduction in elementary, you don't need board approval to do that. You do what needs to be done. And I think, I remember a year ago we met with Marshall on some things and we said, no, we're going to keep with what we promised our citizenry that we would do. We talked about, do we need, well, before building costs go up and up, do we build all three buildings at the same time? No, we promised our public we would layer on the bond so that their tax rates wouldn't be higher. You know, I think those are all areas that we have worked on with accountability, not with that community engagement, the accountability part of it.
All of the superintendent meetings, open houses, that we have board members going to all the different open houses
mm-hmm.
for the schools, even though the superintendent wasn't necessarily there.
Right. And if with your first year you're supposed to attend your required meetings well prepared and on time, which is one of our norms, complete the school finance course, the course provided by the state association. There will be a school finance 101, or has Jeff already given that to you?
Everything Jeff tells me is school finance 101. No, we'll be doing that one.
Right. Well, and at our at all of our state meetings, they make sure we have.
Yeah, and I've
have done that one. With the board created strategic plan. And we've somewhat done that. We've done it under a different name than a strategic plan. With the board developed policy tied to student achievement. We've done a lot of policies this last year. Attend a school community council training. Frank, when is the next, we're doing a regional school community council.
Yeah, so put, Spring Creek Middle School.
So put on your schedule October 21st at Spring Creek Middle School will be the regional training that we sponsored last year at Mount Logan Middle School. We offered to sponsor it, right, but there was a conflict with the use of the auditorium. So we'll get that sent. Yes, and we'll ask Stacy to send that out as a reminder to put on our calendars because going well, and we're really lucky because we used to try to get all of our school community council members to these trainings and we had to go to Ogden, and to have it in the valley is so nice. And there were people that came last year from Box Elder County and also from, it's the rich county people I feel for. So I would encourage all of us, even though it's not on our level four, we need to go to that. Reward and recognize staff and students and board meetings. We try to do that. We did one tonight. And then this area foundation for effective government, effective governance. School boards provide leadership through governance that will create the conditions under which excellent student achievement can be attained. Boards should set the model for excellence. An effective board governs with unity of purpose, agrees on roles and responsibility, creates a positive governance culture, and operates with protocols and policies. As you know, that's something that we tried to do, Frank, Lynn, and I, to help establish these norms. We had Mosi and Patty come and talk with us about what's the role of the superintendent and his staff versus what's the board's role. And so all of these, you know, and you can look through that, Lisa, and see that most of that you've already done. And so as I reviewed the two, basically for those of us who are on level four, we have some writing to do. And one thing you need to know if you are on a level four, notice there is a box that says required, I have completed this area, and then you write underneath it, and then there's this little thing that says update. If you only push update and don't push I have completed this area of achievement, it goes off into cyberland. So you may want to write all of these on a separate piece of paper and copy and paste because I actually contacted them, and then I played with it, and the young man who's over it called me, and he said, you didn't check that box first, did you? And I had not already realized, so.
Just check the box.
Check the box as soon as you see it, and then update at the end. So I just, that required box.
So like our neighbor attends 80% of your meetings. Do we need to wait till a certain date to check that, or?
Technically, we need to be done with this by December 1st.
Okay.
So whenever you want to, well, you have attended 80% of your meetings.
Okay.
So anyway, that's what's important, and we want to have all seven of us complete it. It's amazing to me how many boards don't complete it. They will have a board member who says, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, to me, if you're going to be on the board, and if we're requiring our teachers to be part of professional learning communities, we better be part of professional learning communities. Any questions, comments on Master Boards Awards?
You know what, one comment, that we went over so many policies this year, and not only did we go over them, is that so many of them involved stakeholders, the drug testing, things like that.
Yeah, and
and those can fit in a lot of different places.
And you notice we didn't have any new policies tonight. We are waiting on the next draft of our cash receipts until on Friday when it's a professional development day. Jeff, you're meeting with secretaries this on September 11th, right?
So yeah, we are so grateful.
Yes, we are. And you know, those school finance secretaries know so much about how they do things, and so it's really important that they meet. All right, if there are no other questions on Master Boards, we will move on to our last item, which is the annual meeting schedule. Franklin and I sat down and did some discussion. The May 10th, you'll notice on here, it has it crossed out that it's... Yeah, and there are the two pages. There's the one that's on page 14 that says we've made some changes. Please go to the annual notice. That's where we've put in the changes.
This is the one you want.
Yes, and if you go to May 10th, Stacy crossed out the regular meeting because I did not put that part. We will need the regular meeting back on there because we always have the extra pay for extra services, and especially in May, there's often something we have to do. So we will not cross that out. That will stay. In May, we want to meet on May 17th with the regular. We are going to be meeting on May. That's wrong. It should be that we are meeting on.
It says 24 and 17.
Yes. Did I mess it up again?
The 24th is our normal day. And I think you have it changed to the 17th.
Yes, that's what it's supposed to be.
The 24th is in red, June 6th is in red, and June 13th is in red.
Right, because we found that May 24th, when we discussed this, Lynn, that's the day of a Bell banquet, is May 24th.
Okay, just, Christy asked me if I would say this for her.
Okay.
She strongly believes that we need to hold all of our meetings on the 2nd and the 4th, as we have normally scheduled, unless there is a major, major reason why we don't. She feels like it is confusing to the public, and where we have agreed to have them on the 2nd and 4th, she strongly believes that is when we should hold them.
Okay.
She asked if I would
okay.
Well, I think LDAT and TWIT is a major conflict that we need, that one at least needs.
I think things like the LBANQUIT, candlelight, graduation.
Well, and all of that, elementary schools and others.
The only one that would be at the
LBANQUIT. Right. Mm-hmm. I think those are all.
Well, is it on Wednesday? Okay. Will you get back with us? And so that's one reason we've usually found that week of you know, the last week of school, which is that 24th. We also, last year, the same night as L Banquet was Bridger's Leader in Me night. I had four things I could have gone to that night. And it's really difficult if we're also having a board meeting and trying to recognize our Teacher of the Year.
And we have graduations all over the place.
Yes.
Just personal ones and schools.
So
why was that June 14th change to the 6th?
June 14th, okay, we, dates that now need to be on the schedule.
So did we take off
okay,
the red ones?
The red ones would, are take off, not added, so that's what's confusing. So we changed to June 14th because it's our regular second Tuesday. And so we've changed it to the second Tuesday, and then the reason June 21st is on that date is Jeff West on June 22nd.
The deadline for the budget, we have to submit our budget by June 22nd, it has to be passed by June 22nd.
So we just need to get it off so that we can...
Right, so it, but you notice the reason what was done is it was taken from last year's where we met on number one.
Last year we moved it to the first and the...
Right, we met to the first.
This time we do it on the second and third.
Right, so... And we...
That has to be passed by the 22nd, you have to have your board budget hearing.
And the dates that were originally adopted were actually Monday nights in June that I really didn't like. And that happened last year because of our conference. And so the main reason is we want to be on, again, we want to be on the second Tuesday, if possible. And the fourth Tuesday is too late for our budget hearing. Therefore, that's the reason we need to go to the 21st.
And I see that you do have a strike through on the red one. It's on
the 24th. Well, and I didn't see that either. So
now I see them when I go.
So we would like, yes, we would like to go to May 17th, June 14th, and June 21st. And that would be our budget hearing that night at 6 o'clock.
Do we need to have a motion?
We cannot do a motion now.
We need to talk about then on the November 17th.
Okay.
We don't have that. That's normally the third. This is the third.
And that's what we had passed last time. We voted on that. So
we voted on what?
We voted to have it be the. We voted for.
Isn't that what we're going to be voting on this?
Okay, we have November 10th and November 17th. Those were what we had already listed on there. And we talked about that going to November 24th, which is the Tuesday night before
Thanksgiving
with no day, and that would be the night we'd be recognizing some teachers. The input at the board meeting was people are not going to come the night before school's out. So if, you know, if there's more discussion, my thought on that one, well, what are your thoughts on
the
17th versus the 24th?
How about on that Tuesday night? Well, everyone's out of school. Nobody goes to school on Wednesday. Everybody's off and gone. Is that it would be a disservice to those people who did need to be honored and have not only all the board members there, but their family members there, their colleagues present, you know, to help participate in congratulating them for their service.
And what are your thoughts on that, Lisa?
I'm fine either way.
Okay. And we know that Christy would rather have it on the 2nd and the 4th. And what are your feelings, Lynn?
Well, after Christy made those statements, I just thought, you know, the less confusing it is for the public, you know, it would be nice if we kept them on the 2nd and 4th as much as possible. But I realize there's times when, you know, like on the budget thing, and if there's a candlelight thing, those will need to change. That's sort of how I feel.
Then we have, on the other hand, that the public does expect us to have some compassion or some consideration for vacation and time, you know. And my thought would be, I would go, oh, how can they just change it? My gosh, it's vacation tomorrow. Nobody's, you know. I'm not going. I'm heading out of town or something.
But also, always ask the one teacher that always comes to our meeting his feedback.
Okay, John, what do you want on John? Say, Rayanne, what do you want to?
You probably have asked them why. What day is it?
Oh, banquet is on the 19th.
So we can.
So they're doing that week before, that's interesting, very interesting. We normally don't, but since we've already gone to the public, your information, Joe.
I'm trying to be more involved in my local government, and Logan City Council.
Is on the.
It's on the first and third, and so then you're paying people choose. I like Christie's, the board member Christie's comment, ducking the board.
I think as often as we, as much as we can, we need to stick to the second and fourth, but there are circumstances where.
Yeah, we did more changes last year than any other year than we've ever had. We were on a lot of firsts and thirds and Mondays.
Well, it sounds like in May we could keep it on the 19th.
Yeah.
No sense of changing it.
No, but the all banquet's not that night.
So what we would need to do is, if at all possible, is to try to keep that meeting shorter, so that we can go to all of those 7 o'clock programs at all of the schools, that, and perhaps even start a little earlier with some of our recognitions that night.
Are we talking about November 17th?
No, we're now talking about
May
4th.
What about November 17th?
We've kind of jumped from that because Rayanne said that El Banquet is now on the 19th, so they're going to do it the week before graduation.
So the November one, do we want to keep it on the 17th or the 24th?
Oh, all right, everyone, let's go back to November. Do we want the 17th?
I don't care
one way or the other. I just think, you know, we.
Well, and I think especially, like you said, with recognition and stuff, I think a lot of people are leaving to travel that night, and you might actually miss a lot of the people you are trying to recognize.
That's one of the times we recognize school and recognize their teachers.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them maybe wouldn't be there the night before.
That's what we just talked about. It's like, you know, having some consideration for those people so that they're,
I just,
first of all, so they can come.
I just think it needs to be rare when we change it, but.
Jeff, one of the things we do need to do is, I know, don't we have to notify someone when our public hearing is, and it can't be at the same time that someone else has their public hearing?
Yeah.
Well, if it's a truth in taxation, I don't think we can say
it's a. If it's just our budget hearing?
I'll check it.
Will you check on that, because.
The same. I know a truth in taxation hearing you have to, but.
Well, and I know last year it was on a Monday night, and I felt like that was a real disservice, was to have a truth in taxation on a Monday night. To me, that was not good. So I think we need to make sure we.
I think everyone has their great then.
So we may have to.
Yeah, so if you'll check with that one.
I just actually did that training, and I think it's just if it's truth in taxation that you do have to
have it approved, so that it's not at the same time that the county council is.
If it's just a regular one,
that's
I don't.
The only one.
So yeah. We would be okay with that. Yeah. So, and I know that would give Jeff extra time with the budget. We meet on our regular Tuesday night, and then it gives him a whole week to prepare, and he's able to have us approve it just before it's due, which is not the rush you had to have this last year.
I wouldn't want anybody who's listening to think that we went willy-nilly into the night last year just changing things because for our convenience or anything like that. There were so many extenuating circumstances last year. You know, the hiring of a new superintendent, the hiring of a new director, the hiring of a vice principal, and getting Jeff on board and
conferences
and
other things.
Stuff going on. Plus all the graduation things, that everything that happens in May, and then this year the attempt has been to keep it that way, with the exception of two things, if everyone agrees. So I don't think we're in a disagreement with Christie at all.
So then, if we keep November 17th the way it is, and then we go to May.
I do have a question. In April, the dates I have down for NSBA and our board meeting conflict on the 12th.
Technically, the conference gets done on the 11th, on the Monday. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather fly home that day.
Yeah, okay. That's why I needed to ask that question.
Then the day we did it, last time we flew home, it was the same day and it was a mess.
Okay.
And so I'd rather come home late at night than have to get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Okay, so the conference does end on Monday then? The
conference ends on Monday.
Okay.
It does not go to Tuesday.
Okay, someone had given me the date for Tuesday, and so... And I noticed there's a conflict there, but there's not really, so...
It's the flying area that would be there.
Okay.
Okay, so then we would do May 10th and May 24th, right, rather than the 17th.
Okay.
And we would do June 14th and June 21st. And feelings on November 17th.
Okay, so the May is not on the 17th, it's back to the 24th.
Yes. Unless you have input on that and to change it. And I do think we need to do all we can, Frank, that we have a lot of it in our May 10th meeting during the regular meeting work session so that the 24th can be an honoring night of our Teacher of the Year, Employee of the Year activities, and it's a rah-rah-rah, approve the tentative graduation list, and then move... be short that night.
Yep.
Okay.
I can do that.
Then we'll get that on the consent calendar for the next meeting. All right.
Thank you for your work on that.
Okay.
Wasn't that nice of me?
Hey, but thank you for thanking me.
You're welcome. I'm just trying to follow the rules.
It's very nice. I do want to thank people. I feel like tonight we were able to... But in our entire day, I think we've tried to put students first. We've tried to demonstrate respect for the process. I appreciate that everyone came prepared to the meeting, that we tried to be transparent by being open, honest, and accurate, and we tried to listen and give complete attention and avoiding interruption in side conversations, staying on topic. And hopefully everyone feels that they have had an opportunity to give input. And so, seeing that we're at the end of the agenda, we will adjourn this meeting at 6:13.
What do you want to